Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to be continuing today in our study of this passage of Scripture, the 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Nun. And unlike our alphabet system, the alphabet system of the Hebrew, each letter had a meaning. And they also had a numerical value, which is very interesting and much different than many of the alphabets that we have in the world today. But I want to read again our passage of Scripture here and focus again on these verses that are so helpful in us understanding how we can navigate life, not just this year, but the entire lifespan. As the last verse says, verse 112, even unto the end. We can be found faithful and navigating our way through this world and in this life. Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep Thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto Thy word. Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget Thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from Thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform Thy statutes always, even unto the end. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd open our hearts to Your word today. I pray that You would teach us the testimonies of Your Scripture in this passage, and I pray that we would be open and receptive to listen to Your word. And may the Holy Spirit take those truths that are found in this passage and pierce into our thinking and into our lives in such a way that we remember these things, that we would be challenged on a regular basis by these things that are shared with us in this passage. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we've made it the first week of the new year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. And, you know, Dr. Hobbs, our founder, always began the new year by saying, it's an open, completely clean, blank sheet of paper. Well, we've had a few days, and we've written on 2024. I hope and pray that we have written things that are of value and of worth and of praise and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look again at what we talked about last week, and I'm just going to quickly review this, and then we're going to move right back into our passage of Scripture here, talking about the 14th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I said each one of these letters have a meaning. It's very interesting that when you study this, and we looked at last time the letter Nun, and you see the inscription that's given to us, and remember, you read from right to left, and you'll notice that the first letter, these are actually the same letter. But the first letter is bent. It's bent. And I shared with you last time what a Hebrew scholar had mentioned concerning this. Let me see if I can find that very quickly. Let me go back. The ornithography suggests that the one who is humble before God will stand upright in the final day. In the Olam Hazet, the present life, this means that the Zadik, the righteous, will affirm, I am nothing but dust, but You have made me worthy through Your righteousness and mercy. And if we go back to that previous letter, you'll see that this is perpendicular. And he said in this, the faithful one who is bent will be able to stand upright before the Lord, not because of his own righteousness, because of the righteousness of another, and that righteousness is Jesus Christ. And so this 14th letter, all of the letters of the alphabet are used in Psalm 119, and this 14th has eight verses that are dedicated to the theme of this word. And I want us to see that because it will help us, I think, to see the progression that's given to us here. The bowing position, the inclined heart to God, and then standing upright before Him in the end. That's how this ends at the very end. The very letter is transcribed into 8 verses of Scripture here that is in a poetic form to help us understand our journey through life and how you and I need to be focused as we navigate life in the year. How many of you remember your first driving lesson? Anybody here remember that? How many of you had an accident on your first driving lesson? All right, nobody's going to raise their hand for that, of course. You had an accident on your first one? Well, some of you started out with, 1930s and 40s cars. Those were a lot harder to drive back in those days. They didn't go as fast, but you had to know a lot to get them started and get them going down the road. And our cars today are much faster. And we've got some of our young people here that are learning how to drive. Samuel's learning how to drive. Gideon's learning how to drive. We've got some of these kids that are up and going now. And, we've got the opportunity when we're learning how to drive to show our parents that we know what we're doing. And so we want to impress them. Now, parents are very scared when they get into the vehicles with their child in the driver's seat. And there's a lot of gasping and sighing that goes on. Nope. I remember my mom, whenever I was the first time that I drove the family to school, we had a LTD station wagon. Some of the older folks remember that from the days. My dad and mom had it for like 40 years, and they drove the wheels off that car. But it had a big 400 cubic inch Ford engine in there, and I got to drive it. I backed out of the yard perfectly. I got it turned going down Lee Street, going east, and a car backs out of one of the houses at the end of the street, backs out in front of me. I quickly hit the brakes. Before I got the car stopped, my mom was already out of the car, walking around to the thing, and I said, I rolled the window. Mom, what are you doing? We almost had a wreck. I'm driving to school. And so I put it in park. I slid across the bench seat, which was a mile long, to get over to the other side. And I had my head down. I said, Mom, it wasn't my fault. I had to hit the brakes. I was going to hit that car. She said, well, I'm not ready for this. And so she pulled the seat all the way up, and where my knees were like this, because Mom is short, and we went to school. And finally, my dad convinced my mom to let me drive us to school. And so I went outside and scoped the street before I left. I was going to know everything that was parked on that street, who was going to back out, what time, and I got us navigated to the house. And I got us navigated to the driveway. And I got us navigated out into the street and all the way to school. And my mom never stopped me once. And she said, all right, you can do this. You can do this. And so from that point on, I was good. Eventually, the keys were turned over to me, and I drove my siblings to school until the time we got our own vehicles and so forth like that. But I wanted to show my mom that I knew what I was doing. Now, sometimes when I had the car, I wanted to find out how fast a 400 cubic inch Ford engine, all right? And so I didn't know Adam Watt at the time, but Adam is the same way. He wants to test out the vehicle or whatever. And I took that LTD wagon up Willard Norris Road, and I got it up to 100 miles an hour. Guess what? One of my dad's workmates lived on that street. That car was known by everybody in Milton, all right? And so Mr. DeWeese called my dad and said, Phil, you in a hurry today? And Dad put two and two together. And so when I pulled into the yard, I got up, I got the station wagon parked and everything like that, safely did 100 miles an hour, and I found out what the 400 cubic inch engine could do. Dad was standing there at the door. Hand out. I lost my driving privileges for a month. Okay? Dad was not impressed. I'd impressed Mom, but I forgot about Dad's friends that lived on Willard Norris Road. And I'd forgotten that Mr. DeWeese lived on that street, that stretch, and he was out getting his mail when he saw the white, the lime-colored LTD go by at 100 miles an hour. So he just walked back and called, "Phil, are you in a big hurry?" Because he thought it was me, that I was Dad. All right. Now, my dad had a lead foot, and still does, but watch out for his little Ford Ranger there. He can turn some wheels out in the parking lot. But I learned a lesson from that. I was not to use the family car as a race vehicle. I learned something from that. Now, since that time, I've been driving, since 16. And I've driven a lot of miles, and many of you have driven hundreds of thousands of miles on your vehicles, and God's been good. You've been, the Lord's protected. You're still alive. You're here today. Amen? But you know that when you get into your vehicle and you start it up and you get it out of the driveway and you get it on the road, that it's dangerous now. You know that. You don't know who's driving the opposite way and whether they're inebriated or not. All you have to do is see all the crosses along the streets of Milton. And you can see new ones put up where somebody lost their life. It's serious business, navigating the roads of Milton. Navigating your way to Walmart, that can be a challenge of a lifetime. Navigating in the parking lot at Walmart can be a challenge of a lifetime. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy people out there. Navigating life is not easy. But God has put up some signposts and some helpful markers along the way to keep you in line where He can bless you and you can go all the way to the end. Look at that last verse again, Psalm 119, verse 112. Navigate all the way to the end using what? The Word of God. The Word of God. I want to take you to this last page here. We talked about the directional trees last time up in the southeast in Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, in Illinois. All of these trees that were bent by Indian tribes that would give directions to lakes, rivers, streams, villages, things of that nature. And those trees still exist today. And they've been marked by the Department of Interior. They have their own GPS marking. And they know where everyone is. They know whenever someone reports a new one, and they sometimes happens, they find a new one that they had not seen before, and they mark it. And it gives direction. And God has put those markers in our life. I want us to see here, we looked at last week, the first three. Make the Word of God your light always. Don't come up with a substitute. It's too dim. It won't help you. You need the light of the world. And who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ written. So, you've got the tools necessary to light your pathway, to walk the way of life each and every day, but if you don't use the Word of God, you don't turn the light of Christ on your way, you're going to be stumbling and fumbling your way through life. And I don't have to have you give testimonies this morning about what happens when you do that. We all wish we could go back and fix things from the past, do we not? Because we went our own way. We had it all figured out, and we didn't do it through the light of God's Word, and as a result of that, we became a train wreck. Number two, we looked at verse 106, make a contract with God to keep His Word. It's okay to do that. Now, make sure that you understand the warning that's given with vows and contracts. Don't vow a vow if you're not going to keep it. Don't make a contract with God if you're going to break it tomorrow. Be serious about it. And just say, Lord, I want Your help. I need Your grace to every day spend time in Your Word so I can know. You don't know what you're going to face in a given day. It's been my pattern for years that when the phone rings in my office or for whatever that I pray, Lord, help me. I don't know what this is about, but Lord, would You help me to give the right answer and pick up the phone? Sometimes it's somebody that just wants to talk. Sometimes it's a telemarketer, and I know how to respond to that. Yeah, and then I hit on my cell phone. I hit the block caller type thing, so I don't get that again. But we need to love God's Word so much that I'm willing to make sure that I'm in it every day. You don't get up in the morning and say, you know, I wonder if I'm going to have breakfast today. I wonder if I'm going to brush my teeth. Now, on that one, if you're wondering about brushing your teeth, see me afterwards. We're going to have a little chit-chat. You don't need to be wondering about that. But you get up and you go through your morning routine every day and you don't even think about it. Because that's what we do. Well, the Bible should be part of your morning routine. Amen? It should be part of it. My day is based upon my knowledge of the light of God's Word. I need it. I have to have it. God's not in the business of just helping you survive. God's in the business of leading and directing your life for His glory and for your success. And so make a contract with Him to keep His Word. Psalm 119, 107, find your life in the Word of God. Now what does that mean? Let's look at that verse again. We just briefly touched on it last time. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, or make me alive, O Lord, according unto Thy Word. You know, when you're afflicted, you can easily get discouraged. You can easily get depressed. You can easily just say, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed with all this affliction that I am going through, this difficulty that I'm going through. Stop. Ask the Lord, Lord, make me alive through Your Word. Now, what does that mean? Get into His Word. Get into His Word at those moments of discouragement. Get into His Word when you start feeling depressed. Get into His Word and know the life that's found there. I mean, if you want an electric lamp to work, you got to plug it in. If you want your Christmas decorations to light up, you got to plug them in and turn them on. And you and I as believers have got to be in tune with Christ. We've got to be in Him. And we want Him to make us alive. Don't you want to shine for Him? Don't hide your light under a bushel, the Bible says. Don't put it under a cover. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have a responsibility, believers, as children of God, to find our life, to really begin to live through the Word of God. That's our life source. So, David encourages us here. Whenever I get discouraged and the afflictions just pile onto me, I go to the Lord and I ask Him, Lord, would You be my life? Would You live in me in such a way that I can overcome these afflictions that I'm going through right now? And I will do so by studying and reading Your Word. That's how we get the victory. We don't get the victory by just willing our way to do it. We have to be careful about that. Some people have very strong wills. We've met them in life, those people that just have very strong wills. They're going to get what they want and they're going to move heaven and hell to get it. Well, let me just tell you something. You make sure your will is bent to God's will. Because if you're following your will, you're going to get in trouble fast. You need to have your will submitted to God's will so God can direct and God can empower and God can lead and guide in your life. So that's the third one. Let's look at the fourth one very quickly. We find that in verse 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. You know what we need to get in the practice of? We need to give our God the sacrifice of praise. That's the freewill offering. It's voluntary. It's not because you have to. It's because you want to, right? You desire to do it. You know, I remember years ago, we had a man on staff that could not sing. He could not carry a tune in a bucket. And I always sat in front of him at church. And I would hear him in the back, and he would try so hard to sing. And he would be trying to sing, but he tried every service. I'll have to hand it to him. He admitted it. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. But he always worked really hard to do his best that he could. And you know what? Do you think God will accept that? if it comes from his heart, a free will offering like that? Yes. Yes. Well, I'm not going to sing because I can't sing very well. You go ahead and make a joyful noise. You do what you can. You may have to cause everybody around you to put earmuffs on, but you sing unto the Lord. You give Him that sacrifice of praise unto His name. That is part of the encouragement of letting God know that you love Him. You love Him. And He's worthy to receive praise and adoration and glory. And I'm willing to sacrifice to do that. What a picture is given here. It's not always about just receiving. There's also that aspect of giving. Amen? Giving praise unto our God. When you sing during the song service, I pray you just belt it out. Now you may be hoarse and you may be sick, and you may not be able to do it. But I'm going to tell you, if you've got a voice, you ought to just give praise unto our God because He is worthy. It's pictured here as giving this sacrifice of our lips. Honest, genuine praise to God. And God says He'd accept it. He'll accept it. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy, what? Judgments. Judgments. Those are decisions that come down from God Almighty. Do I always understand judgments that are made by judges here on this earth? No. Sometimes there's long documents that go with it, and they give the explanation for why they made their decisions. The Supreme Court has all these documents. You can go online and read all the results of their decision-making process and why they came out with their vote and so forth like that. But I want you to know something. God's judgments are pure. They're always right. And so my job is to rejoice in God's judgments, His decisions that He makes. The idea behind this word is not just a ruling, but also the reasoning behind the ruling. It's always right. You don't always have to understand, but you do need to accept. We need to get in that business as believers in Christ, that when God makes decisions in my life, sometimes it involves things that transform our lives. I have a dear friend that I played ball with who lost a leg in a terrible accident. But he's one of the most joyful men that you'll ever meet. Every time I see him, he comes up and gives me a big hug. We got a lot of memories together. We played ball all up on the same team for 3 or 4 years. And he was a good ball player. He was involved, though, in a terrible accident that he lost his leg. And so as a result of that, he has a prosthetic leg. And he has a very distinct walk because he can't walk properly as a result of that. But God got a hold of his heart and saved him. And whenever I see him, he's always got a smile on his face. He always honors the Lord with his testimony. I mean, he is a blessing to be around. Now, it was awful at the time. We didn't know whether he was going to survive or not, that accident. He was in the hospital for months. But you know what? God spared him, God saved him, and God's using him today. He makes the sacrifice of praise even though he's suffered greatly, losing a leg, an athlete having lost his leg, never to play softball again, never to be able to go out and run with his grandkids. Can't do that now, but he's got a smile on his face. And the sacrifice of his lips are an encouragement not only to God, but to those that are around him. We've got a responsibility, Christian, to make sure that we give the sacrifice of praise unto our worthy God. Amen? Because He alone is worthy to receive that praise. Let's go over here to number 5, verse 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. This is one of those great lessons from the Word of God to help us to realize that you and I are the ones that ultimately make our decisions. We all are faced with choices. The refrigerator quits. We got to go down to Home Depot or go to Lowe's. I have to put in a thing for Lowe's here with Brother Richard. He works there. And maybe you can see him afterwards and get a discount. But, you know, your refrigerator quits. The family now has to make a decision. We have to replace our refrigerator. Now, we can go back to the 1930s and get an ice box. Or we can go down and pay big bucks for these new refrigerators that we get. The ones that last 5 years and you have to replace them every 5 years. That's just the way things are these days. Our refrigerator, we bought it in 1998 and it's still going. I don't know. The Holy Spirit must be living in it. I don't know. The water dispenser is not working. So I know what's coming eventually. But the water dispenser quit. But the ice maker still works, and the ice crusher still works. That's a miracle. Everybody I talk to says that's the first thing that usually goes. But ours is still working. Now, as soon as I've said that, I'll go home today, and it won't be working, and I'll have to report back to you again. But my wife and I know we've already been looking. The years are adding. We're in 2024. That refrigerator was built in 1998. One of these days, it's going to give up the ghost. And we'll open the refrigerator and the light won't be on. Or everything will have melted in the freezer. And we know we've got to go. We've got a choice to make. We've got a decision to make. And that's when we start Googling. We've been doing that. Which brands do you stay away from? Bad reviews. Stay away from that. Don't get that. And so we're looking for something that we can afford, if it's possible. And we're looking for something that fits our needs and will fit in our spot in our kitchen. There's a lot of processes involved in making a choice for just one item. How about the decisions of life? We're faced every day with decisions and choices and health issues that arise. And what are we going to do? Run to Christ. Run to Christ. Remember, my life is continually in my hands. I've got choices to make. The choices that you can't make for me. And I can't make choices for you. We all have to deal with these choices that are continually in our hand. How am I going to handle those? Do I pick up my phone and call all my friends to find out what I should do? Well, that might be wise if there's somebody that works, say, with refrigerators. And they got a little bit of insight on that. Hey, stay away from this model. Don't buy that. My neighbor just bought one and it quit on them. You can find out information. That's all right. But isn't it much better to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know it's just a refrigerator, but would you show us what to do? Would you show us what we should get in this regard? We've got these particular needs. Would you? And you know what the Lord does? We've seen this so many times. The Lord can provide and meet those needs just what you need. But we've got to understand, yes, my life is continually in my hands. But I've got somebody that's got his hands under my hands. Matter of fact, that same visual is used in John chapter 10, is it not? We are in the hands of God and in the hands of Christ. We need to understand that and we need to live that way. So that's number five. Number six, look at verse 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Boy, this is a reality that many people face on a regular basis. You know, we know that as believers in Christ, we have an enemy. He's known as Satan. But he influences many people. And of course, we have to deal with the human flesh. And there's all kinds of things. I mentioned in Sunday school that I got a call from Jethro about the fact that one of the members of their Christian school, one of the parents, contacted a group out of New York City, and they flew over to Brooks Point, and they're now going to be starting a madrasa school in that town. They said, Pastor Todd, I need prayer. This is a major, major event. And I told him, I said, Brother Jethro, I said, understand this. God knew this before you did, that this was going to happen. So let's pray together that God would bring this to naught. Now, we witnessed this in time past. Sometimes God allows things to go through to test us and encourage us to trust in Him more. But sometimes God will bring something to naught. He'll just close the doors. We're praying that way. We will say, Lord, thy will be done. But our desire is that you would bring this to naught because of the harm that will come to little children, and their thinking will be skewed. And they have an opportunity now in a Christian school to be acquainted with Jesus Christ. And they have loving teachers that communicate the message of the gospel of the grace of God to these little children. And they want that to continue, and we want that to continue. We want to see that continue to grow. But the enemy has reared his ugly head to try to disrupt and discourage. This verse speaks to that. The wicked ones have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. I didn't move away one little bit. I stayed right on the right road. Oh, what a blessing. I didn't err to the right and I didn't err to the left. In Proverbs chapter 4, it talks about neither turn to the right nor turn to the left, but stay right on track. That's what God wants us to do. He wants you and I to stay in His Word every day, to continually to grow in His Word every day. You say, well, I read these verses many, many times before. Well, ask God's Spirit to give you a fresh understanding of those verses. He will. Let Him encourage you. Because when the enemies come and you don't know what to do, you need a solace. You need something to stand on. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. But you won't be standing very well if you don't spend time in His Word. That's how He encourages. That's how He strengthens us. That allows us to be able to stand on both feet, assuredly, that we can face whatever is thrown against us. He's already given us His armor. Amen? Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the helmet of salvation. And bless God, we've got the sword of the Spirit. But that's not all. We can stay in contact with the commander through prayer. Don't ever forget that verse when you read the Ephesians chapter 6. Praying with all prayer and supplication, giving thanks. Oh, how we need to understand this verse of Scripture. This is one of those ways in which we can grow and navigate the new year. 111, we're almost done. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage or an inheritance forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I would imagine if we were to give a microphone and walk around to each one of you today about who was influential in your life of bringing you to Jesus Christ, you could name several people that prayed for you, that witnessed to you. Maybe it was a mom and dad. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a church or the pastor or whatever the case might be, a youth pastor. We could all go back and name the names, I know I can, of those who are influential in my life that pointed me to the Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I have a heritage. We have a heritage of all those godly Christian people that have been in our lives throughout the years. Some of them are passing off the scene. I was thinking about all my college professors that have already passed away. I was thinking about my school teachers that have passed away. 2023, I lost my first grade teacher and I lost my second grade teacher. Two people that were very influential in my life growing up. You think about those individuals that poured their hearts and lives into you, and you were the recipient of that, and you really didn't appreciate it maybe at the time, but as time went on and God got a hold of your heart and you came to faith in Jesus Christ, all that training and preparation they gave meant something. As it does to me this day, of what those teachers poured into me. But you know what? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. Treasure the Word of God as a heritage, never to be lost. I got to go to my grandmother's house this past week. We brought some stuff to put into one of the bedrooms. It used to be Aunt Betty's room. This is a storage place temporarily. And at least we say temporarily. Sometimes temporarily turns into a long period of time. But we put some stuff in storage in there. And as I was walking into that house, all the memories start flooding back in. The Christmases, Christmas Eve, we always went to Granny's house. And we'd have Christmas. And she'd have her tiny little Christmas tree set up that she could go and put it in a box and put it away. And she was done with Christmas. She'd put it up on Christmas Eve. She was not one that had a lot of decorations. But I remember going in there, and we would get to open gifts on Christmas Eve from Granny. And I remember going by there to get my stick of gum and then going in there and smelling the bacon that she would be cooking, or ham, or biscuits, or things of that nature. All those memories in a house that she hasn't been in since 2000. She went to be with the Lord in 2006. But the house is still there, and most of her old furniture is still there, and things that remind me of that. There's a heritage there. I have her Bible, which has the birth announcement for Brian Todd Brainerd, 1964, but also has the obituary of my grandfather that died the same night I was born. They're in the same spot in the Bible. There's notes in there in her rough penmanship because she only got to go to the sixth grade. But folks, I've been blessed with a heritage. And you and I can be continuing to develop that heritage as we study the Word of God together and independent on our own at home. It's a gift to us that stays with us our entire life. Treasure the Word of God that way. You might have an heirloom that just means so much to you, that was a gift from your great-grandmother or whatever, and it's precious to you and you wouldn't want to ever lose it. Do you feel that way about God's Word? Is it something that you treasure in your heart? That will help you to navigate your life this year. And then finally, the last verse. Bend your life intentionally toward obedience to God's Word to the very end. Bend your life. Remember Nun, the first letter? How it's bent? It's bowing. By the way, there's also that same letter can be bent the other direction for a different meaning. But it's bent there, and it indicates that bowing nature. And then as you move through that letter to the last letter, which is the same Nun character, it's perpendicular, picturing the end, standing before our Lord, not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me read this verse again. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. How often? Always. Always. I've inclined my heart. Now what does it mean to incline your heart? To make it bend. I've noticed, I have hearing aids, and I've noticed that I have a tendency now that whenever I get someone, I'll kind of lean over a little bit. I'm inclined. Now, as years get older, when I lean over, I'm probably going to fall down. But I'm inclined right now to listen, especially when ladies are talking. So their pitches just don't work too well. When guys are talking, I can usually hear them fairly well. But when ladies are talking, their pitch levels and so forth like that, I'm trying to get it to focus in or whatever. I have to lean. I have to incline myself so I can hear. That's the picture. That's the picture. Are you leaning into God and say, God, I don't want to miss a word you have to say to me? It's an attitude of heart. So I can get the instruction and then go out and perform it. That's what that verse says. And perform it always, even unto the very end. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to have the faithfulness of the grace of God working in my heart and life, so that I can do what God wants me to do. I can perform what God wants me to perform. These eight things that are shared in this package under one Hebrew letter are wonderful thoughts to help you and I as we approach. We've got today and we've got tomorrow, and until the Lord comes back, God wants us to be in His Word. And He's given us eight simple things here to encourage us to stay in His Word. By the way, this doesn't stop. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and Psalm 119 is divided into all of them. And it's just over and over again, repetition. I need Thy Word, I need Thy Word, I need Thy Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. All these verses of encouragement in Psalm 119. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you for the testimony of Psalm 119, 105 through 112. Lord, I pray that we would take to heart these 8 verses of Scripture. Very simple, nothing complex here. I pray that you'd help us to understand that these words are Jesus Christ written. To know the Bible is to know Christ. To study all the different things that are found in the Word of God is to study the facets of Christ. He is all in all. He is everything. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we find Him in the written Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and lives. We need you this year. We've got to navigate through some difficult times, no doubt, that will come our way. Sicknesses and deaths, all kinds of things that we'll be faced with, decisions that have to be made. Some of them are life-transforming decisions, perhaps, that may come. Lord, we need to have a foundation upon which we stand, and that foundation should be the Word of God. I pray that you would encourage us today to navigate life not according to our feelings, not according to what our friends say, not according to the prevalent narrative of the society that we live in, but rather that we might let your Word show us, that we might bend our will to your will, and that you might be able to direct us in whatever path you wish to take us. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for David, the psalmist, who recorded by pen of inspiration these thoughts. And I pray that you'd encourage your people today concerning the Word of God and living life here upon this earth. And help us to be a blessing to others. Lord, we're going to be in contact with people throughout this week, some of them for the very first time. What an opportunity lies before us to tell them of Jesus. I pray that we'd be faithful in doing that. And I pray right now that you'd be working in our hearts in preparation for the upcoming meetings with Brother Dave Young. Lord, we desire for your Holy Spirit to do a great work in our lives. We pray that you'd use Brother Dave in a powerful way, that the Holy Spirit can touch us in those areas that need reassuring, those areas that need to be bolstered, those areas of rebuke that we need, admonition and encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would give him the words to say that would be useful in our hearts and lives. We ask now your blessing as we go our ways, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.